The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Okay, you're live.
Awesome. Thank you. All right, let's get started. So, hey everyone. Before I begin, I'd like to give a quick shout out to the amazing staff, FSF staff, who have all been working very hard, to get our now hybrid wonderful conference off the ground this weekend in the face of technical difficulties, still using only free software. So kudos to you all, and thank you very much. So with that, let's jump right in and talk about what's new in JAMI. But before we do that, first, what is JAMI? So JAMI is free software, or a GNU package for universal communication that respects the freedom and privacy of its users. JAMI is developed by Savoir-Faire Linux, a Quebecois company based in Montreal, Canada. SFL is a team of free software consultants that provide training, consulting, development, and support services for free software technologies. So going back to JAMI, JAMI is an end-to-end encrypted, secure, and distributed voice, video, and chat communication platform that requires no central server and puts the power of privacy and freedom in the rightful hands of users. So some of the key features of JAMI include one-on-ones and group chats, calling and conferencing, leaving audio video messages, screen sharing and file sharing. And we also have a plugins system along with a plugins SDK. And we have a couple of plugins that which I'll get into. JAMI is also its SIP phone and JAMI offers all of these, all the while being peer-to-peer and distributed. Low-level architecture of JAMI and how it works are beyond the scope of this talk. But if you'd like to learn more, you can watch my talk, JAMI and How It Empowers Users, from LibraPlanet 2021, 2 years ago. And also feel free to reach out to me after the conference as well with any questions. All right, so finally, what's new in JAMI? Let's get into it. So previously, JAMI had several clients or user interfaces for desktop operating systems, namely the GTK-based JAMI GNOME client, and which was used on GNU Linux. And we also had separate native clients for macOS and Windows as well. But in 2020 and 2021, the team started transitioning to the Qt-based JAMI Qt client, and which was initially developed for Windows, but now they switched to it across all desktop operating systems. So we gradually deprecated these other desktop clients, namely the GNOME and macOS clients. And we did so as the team shifted focus to the Qt-based client. And more recently, with these other clients having been deprecated, we renamed JAMI Qt to simply JAMI. So let's talk about Swarm. So Swarm is arguably the most important change in JAMI in the recent years. That directly affects users and hopefully improves their experience using JAMI. So Swarm is Jammy's solution to the difficult problem of building a reliable distributed chatting or messaging system. So in short, a Swarm is a Git-backed conversation between two or more people, which is automatically synchronized across their devices. Before Swarm, messaging in Jammy was very primitive, and there was no synchronization across devices. As the sender, you would only have a copy of the message on the device that you sent it from, and on the receiving end, only those devices of you that were actually online at the time of the message being sent would basically get a copy of the message. So you could easily miss having, you know, a message on any of your devices. And finally, Jammy would basically retry delivering messages for a week if it failed, and after that stop. And if in that time a message wasn't delivered, then, you know, the receiver wouldn't have any way to know and it would simply be lost. So Swarm addresses these limitations and does so in a much more robust way compared to Jammy's previous generation of conversations. And thanks to being Git-backed, it can handle some sophisticated use cases of partial availability due to connection loss and seamless merging of histories. So whether for connection loss reasons or just roaming onto a local network, Jammy users in a group can continue talking with each other in that local group, and then their histories will be merged and synchronized with the wider group once again when they, let's say, connect back to the, you know, internet, which I think is a very cool feature. So let's have a look at a few Swarm screenshots. So, you know, here we can create a new Swarm conversation by clicking the button that shows a group of people. We can add an initial set of members to our Swarm and also set an avatar and display name, which is pretty standard, nothing surprising. We can also add and remove Swarm members at any later point if you want to. And more recently, we have a new Swarm panel that shows various aspects of Swarm conversations, namely settings, such as conversation color and notification preferences. As we can see here, we can mute a conversation. Sorry if the photo isn't super clear. If it's small, my slides will be online later and you'll be welcome to have a look. So yeah, we have settings. We also get a view of the conversation members and their roles. So for example, at the moment we have one administrator in this conversation and we have myself and a couple of others as members. And then down at the very bottom, we all can also see someone is invited. Yes, and we also have a tab showing the shared documents in that conversation. So several of these aspects are synchronized across devices. Let's see. So Swarm conversations have also improved displaying of messages. The message read status and allowing replying to specific messages as well, and also reacting to messages using emojis, which is pretty popular or standard, I guess, these days. Swarm also brings a new and improved file transfer system, as well as an improved calling experience with the improved Swarm-based calls subsystem. There have also been many other additions and improvements in Jammy that aren't strictly Swarm related. So for instance, we had the multi-stream and video split projects or sub-projects of Jammy for improving video calls and making the call layouts more flexible so that each user basically could customize and change the video layouts per device, like on their end. Whereas before, this wasn't possible. All of the participants in a video call would all see the same layout, just kind of inconvenient. So that was changed and improved. And you know, we have added new options and settings for controlling video layouts and calls. For example, letting a user hide audio-only participants in a, in a video call. We also added a setting to allow the user to choose whether they'd like to like the chat view to appear in a vertical or horizontal split view. which is handy depending on your screen size and the way you're laying out your windows when you're in a call. And we've also added a bunch of different moderation tools in conference calls, including muting someone as a moderator and also maximizing kicking and promoting someone to being a moderator. And just to be clear, the moderator mute, you can mute someone as a moderator, but they also have a separate mute for themselves locally. And if someone mutes themselves locally, you as a moderator won't be able to unmute them. So there is no like privacy concern in that way. And we also added a raise hand feature that is useful both in like educational and classroom setting, but also in other settings and with regular meetings and conferences. So standard feature, pretty widely used these days, and Jammy has it as well. Jammy also has a chat view typing indicator, which is self-explanatory and standard, and it's a nice small quality of life improvement compared to, you know, what we had before, let's say 2 years ago when I gave my last talk about Jammy at LibrePlanet. You can also change your ringtone device to be different from the default output, and this can be pretty useful if you have, let's say, your headphones plugged into your computer, but you may not always be at your desk. So you can set Jammy to always ring on your speakers so that you can hear incoming calls without having to be at your desk and wearing your headphones. Another convenience is being able to see and copy debug logs right from within the client user interface, as opposed to, let's say, having to launch Jammy from a terminal. And this is pretty handy. And you know, we're hopeful that this helps enable more users to more easily collect debug logs and supply them along with bug reports, which will then help, we'll be able to help the team understand and debug the issue better. We also added a call preview screen, which was previously missing. And this is useful because, well, you can now see your webcam feed in incoming calls before you pick it up or accept it, and also on outgoing calls, like in this screenshot, before the recipient of the call actually accepts it. All right, so another new feature, but this one is more for mobile, is unified push. So reliably delivering notifications to long-running background applications on mobile has been a long-standing challenge and problematic, especially for applications with a distributed architecture like Jammy. So on Android, for example, the user either has to disable battery optimizations for each individual application that wants to stay running, or the application has to show a permanent non-dismissible notification, which can be annoying. Or basically would have to use a push notification mechanism, which actually is the best of these options. But the issue is that for the longest time on Android, the only option for this was using Google's proprietary Dis service. But thankfully, more recently, there has been a free replacement emerging, which is Unified Push. It's an awesome project. And it is a set of specifications and tools that let the user choose how push notifications are delivered. So, you know, please feel free to visit their website, unifiedpush.org, and also read our article on the Jammy blog at this address, jammy.net/unifiedpush, for all the details. But yeah, long story short, Unified Push is now supported by the newest version of Jammy available on F-Droid. All right. So in addition to the existing main Jammy plugins, which are green screen, watermark, audio filter, and auto answer, the team will very soon be announcing the addition of a new plugin for Jammy, the Whisper plugin for live captions. All right, thank you. Okay, folks, sorry for the technical difficulties. I'm going to go back a little bit. Yes, thank you for confirming that you can hear me. All right, let's get back to the presentation. So I was told that you all heard up until my introduction for the Whisper plugin, so I'll repeat that. So in addition to the four existing plugins, the team will soon be announcing the addition of a new plugin for Jammy, the Whisper plugin for live captions. So Whisper is a general purpose speech recognition model that can be used to provide live and automated transcription or translation. And we hope this new plugin will help make calls in Jammy so much more accessible for folks who may either be deaf or be hard of hearing, and also be helpful in multilingual settings where not all attendees share the same language. All right, and it's worth noting that this feature, when offered by other conferencing tools, typically uses or requires non-free software or is SaaS, service as a software substitute, meaning that they send user data to remote servers and do the processing there. Whereas Jammy's Whisper plugin, much like our existing green screen plugin, on the other hand, is completely free software and does all the processing locally on your own machine. So the data, which in this case is the audio, never leaves your machine. And of course, you're the other person that you're talking to. So for future work, the team is looking into and researching the implementation of a new payment plugin to enable users to send and receive money right from Jammy. Of course, handling payment is a complex subject, and much research and care is needed in how it's implemented, especially in a free software setting, where we like to use exclusively free software. I don't have a lot to share about it at this point. It's just that's something that's on the team's radar, and hopefully we'll be able to hear more about it from the team later on in the future. All right, let's talk a little bit about JAMS, or the Jammy Account Management Server. So JAMS is a server application for enrolling and managing Jammy users and clients in a group/enterprise context. And it's a great tool that enables organizations and communities to manage their own community of Jammy users while benefiting from Jammy's distributed network architecture. I actually did give an introduction and also a more in-depth, I guess, look into how JAMS works using X509 certificates behind the scenes. But that's, again, beyond the scope of this talk. And if you'd like to learn more about that, please check out my previous LibrePlanet talk about Jammy. So let's look at a couple of screenshots. JAMS can either run standalone and use its own embedded local database, or also integrate with an existing LDAP or Active Directory installation. So here's how the list of users for an organization might look like in JAMS. For each user, we can see their name, username, profile picture, and account status, which is either active or revoked, along with other useful information, such as phone number, organization, and email address. These details can be automatically pulled in from LDAP or Active Directory, or entered locally in case of using a local database. JAMS also enables the administrator to manage users' devices and revoke an individual device if needed, which is especially useful, let's say, in the case of a lost or stolen device. So the organization admin can go in and revoke that stolen device. And JAMS helps the administrator manage users' contacts and, for instance, add a default set of users as someone's contacts. And this is, again, useful in an organizational setting for making sure users can find each other very easily, searching each other's names without necessarily needing to know each other's usernames or Jammy account IDs. But managing a potentially large number of users individually can be very tedious and, of course, in very large deployments, practically impossible. So JAMS allows creating groups of users to enable administrators to manage users, user accounts at scale. So for example, here we have a group creation dialog. We can create groups, we can also edit groups and add members to them here, as we can see here. And to make groups useful and flexible, JAMS introduces the concept of blueprints for groups. A blueprint is essentially a default configuration file, but for a group. So when a user logs in with a new device, their device will fetch and use the configuration defined by the blueprint for the group that they're a member of. The administrator can edit the permissions associated with the blueprint. For instance, whether video calls or calls from unknown contacts are allowed. And they can also configure other aspects of a blueprint similarly to how one would do that with a regular JAMI account. For example, whether to use UPnP, TURN, or a DHT proxy. So, all right, a lot of awesome stuff. How can you actually download JAMI and start using these awesome new features? Well, you can do that from jami.net/download. We have repositories for a number of different distributions, the Deb-based one like Debian, Driscoll, Ubuntu, and also RPM ones like Fedora and OpenSUSE. You can also install JAMI from your GNU Linux distribution's repositories, although with the caveat that it might be outdated. And in fact, Debian was one such distribution where JAMI was outdated for a very long time, but I'm very happy to say that I was able to take over the maintenance of JAMI in Debian a few months back, and you know, with some hard work and help from one of the Debian developers, shout out to Peter Reinholzen, I was able to bring it back up to date just in time for Debian's upcoming Bookworm release. So additionally, users of many derivatives of Debian, such as Debian, Ubuntu, and our wonderful Driscoll, of course, will also be able to enjoy up-to-date versions of JAMI going forward because it is updated in Debian's repositories. And a couple of housekeeping changes. So we recently changed the naming scheme for, the naming scheme that we use for the JAMI release tarballs from this previous long scheme to a much shorter one, where it basically only contains the date of the release followed by a number, which is bumped, showing the number of times that we had to release on that specific day. And this basically brings our version numbers more in line with, the related instructions from the GNU maintainers manual as well. And of course, our release tarballs are available at dl.jami.net/release/tarballs. We also deprecated the use of the jami-project Git repository for continuous integration and packaging in favor of consolidating all of these aspects in JAMI client Qt repository itself, mostly organized under the Xsource directory. And we also have the daemon submodule at the repository top level, which always points to a recent version of the JAMI daemon that's known to build and work with the Qt client. So all of this information is captured in the Qt client repository going forward. And of course, we also have the build.py script at the repository top level, which you can use to conveniently install the dependencies of JAMI, build it, and then start using a new version of JAMI from source. And lastly, we also renamed the main public C++ namespace of the JAMI daemon slash library from dring, which referenced the previous name of JAMI, to libjami. And of course, so much more, like opening, JAMI URIs and links on GNU Linux, using the system theme, being able to translate JAMI plugins, much like the rest of JAMI, a lot of improvements to the user interface and the user experience, thanks to revamped views, more keyboard shortcuts, and of course, many other improvements and bug fixes across various JAMI subsystems, like the connectivity and media stacks. You can see a list of all of these changes on this wiki page, git.jami.net/softwarelinux/jami-client-qt /dash/wikis/changelog. I will work on hopefully getting that information on a page with a much shorter URL in the future. All right, so we've seen a couple of new exciting things in Jammy and clearly and already started using it. But how does one actually get involved and participate in a community to ask for help or help others? So we would love to actually have you along with us in the community. You can join and participate in a number of different ways, and here are a few of them. So we have the Jammy forum at forum.jammy.net, where you can discuss Jammy, get help, and help others in the community. We have a GNU mailing list, jammy@gnu.org, which is our public mailing list, which you can also use for that purpose, similarly to forums. And we also have a Jammy IRC channel, #jammy on libera.chat, which is bridged and also accessible via Matrix. So if you prefer to use Matrix to access it, that works fine too. And it's great for quick questions or chatting with fellow Jammy users and developers. And lastly, of course, there is a Jammy blog at jammy.net/tag/blog, where the team shares blog posts and articles with the latest news about what's new in Jammy. Okay, so we get involved in the community, but what if you've actually been enjoying Jammy so much that you would actually like to directly contribute to it? So, you know, Jammy has an ambitious goal of becoming the de facto communication application on GNU Linux, and working towards this goal, the team and the community could, of course, use and would appreciate all the help that we can get. So let's look at some of the ways to contribute to Jammy. First off, of course, you can contribute by sending patches to our Garrett code review instance at review.jammy.net. You can help by reporting bugs and issues via the issue trackers on git.jammy.net. And we always greatly appreciate these. And, you know, they're one of the most important ways where we get feedback from the community. If you do consider filing bug reports, I would really appreciate it if you would first have a look at our bug report guide on our docs website at docs.jammy.net/user/bug-report-guide.html, which basically has details and step-by-step instructions on how to write clear and concise bug reports and where and how to submit them. You can also help by extending and improving the documentation for Jammy, which resides at docs.jammy.net. Another very important and very valuable way of helping Jammy is to help by translating it to your languages. I'll be adding more details about that at docs.jammy.net/contribute.html. You can, of course, write your own plugins and share them with the community under a free Libre license, such as the GPL. If you're interested in getting started, we have a tutorial that basically walks you through setting things up and writing a simple plugin that draws a circle at the center of the frame in video calls. So you can start with that simplish task and build from there. If you can, please help package Jammy for your GNU Linux distributions of choice. And if you can't, your distro's developers and maintainers might do it if you ask them nicely. This is an area where we could use a lot of help, and not that we don't already have packages in GNU Linux distributions repositories, but it's never enough just because there's so many different distributions out there. So yes, this is another area. The Jammy team gratefully accepts and appreciates any and all donations from the community. If you'd simply like to make a monetary donation towards the development of Jammy, you can do so by clicking the blue donate button at the bottom of the jammy.net website. Another great way is to fund the development of a specific feature that you'd like to see in Jammy. So we have a list of potential such features on the Jammy docs website. I'm not going to read the URL this time, but you're also welcome to propose your own as well. In either case, please reach out to contact@jammy.net to discuss the details further. And another way for supporting the development of Jammy, particularly if you're in a company or organizational setting, is by purchasing one of the Jam support packages offered by the team. There are several different tiers at different price levels, depending on the type of support and services you're looking to get. And there's more details about that at jammy.biz. And of course, last but most certainly not least, you can help Jammy by using it and helping spread the word and love about it and introducing it to your friends, family, and coworkers. That's about all I have. Thank you. I'll be happy to take questions if there are any.
Thank you, Amin. I hope you heard that applause here in the room.
I sure did. Thank you.
Good. We've accumulated a number of questions from IRC, and anyone in the room who wants to ask a question, you can step up to this microphone. Maybe while people are queuing, I'll throw out some that have come from the IRC. One, we just want to confirm that the swarm feature applies to one-on-one interactions on Jammy. Is that true?
Yes, it applies both to one-on-one conversations, but also to group conversations as well.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right, go ahead.
So I haven't checked out Jammy before, and so I was more curious about the video option. Is this an alternative that we can use for virtual meetings?
Yes, absolutely. You can use Jammy much like you would use some of the more popular proprietary tools, or as a replacement for free tools like BigBlueButton or Jitsi Meet. So I guess the only difference or caveat there is that at the moment, you would need to install Jammy on your machines, like locally, but the team is also working on a web front end for Jammy so that you would be able to use Jammy right from your browser as well, if that's what you would prefer.
So one person was asking if Jammy is end-to-end encrypted. I think that's the case, especially as it doesn't have a central server, and so any encryption would therefore be end-to-end. But I guess can you verify that is true?
Yes. Yeah. Jammy, all conversations in Jammy are end-to-end encrypted with TLS.
Okay, great. Some other questions from IRC, and anyone else in the room, feel free to step up. I'm just going to keep at throwing these in. One person asked, does JAMS, the account handling feature, handle SIP provisioning?
I'm not entirely sure. So Jammy itself has two types of accounts. One is the Jammy account, which actually does build on SIP, and one is regular old standard SIP accounts. And as far as I know, the JAMS feature is mainly geared towards Jammy accounts and provisioning them. I don't think, at the moment at least, it would manage provisioning SIP servers as such.
Okay, thanks.
But if that is a feature that you're interested in seeing, of course, you're welcome to file a bug report for it and have the team look into it.
Okay. We had another person notice that the server git.jammy.net is running a GitLab Enterprise Edition version,
right,
which is a proprietary version of GitLab. Has the project considered the free software issues of using that particular version? Any thoughts?
Right. So that's, I guess, a bit of an unfortunate one. I personally have been aware of it, and the team is aware of it, but I guess they like to use some of the features that are only available in the Enterprise Edition. I've brought this up before. But one thing I will point out, though, is that as a user who interacts with git.jammy.net, you don't end up running any non-free software in your browser. Like, all of the Enterprise Edition non-free code is actually on the server side. And on the client side, all of the JavaScript is freely licensed. At least that's the case when I last looked into it. So yes, that is unfortunate. There is non-free software being run on the server side, but at least, luckily, you, the user, don't have to run any of that. It's all free.
Okay.
And thanks. I wish, yep, and I hope the team would, reconsider that.
Okay, maybe we can write letters or something. Okay, we have another question here.
Hi, your presentation was so impressive. I'm just now trying to investigate free video conferencing options. And I'm curious, what is the difference between Jammy and Jitsi? Is Jitsi also free software? Or for purposes of video conferencing, what's the difference?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And thank you for the compliment. Yeah, so Jitsi is indeed free software also. So there are many differences. Primarily, there's the fact that Jitsi is browser only, like it runs primarily in your browser. Whereas as of now, Jammy runs as a native application, but we're also looking into adding a web front end for users that would want that. And also with Jitsi, Jitsi is inherently centralized. So you have to basically set up and administer a server or an instance of Jitsi Meet for people to be able to use it. And for example, the Free Software Foundation actually does do that. There is a Jitsi instance for FSF members. Whereas with Jammy, Jammy is completely distributed. So all the users talk to each other either peer-to-peer directly or whenever that's not possible. For example, due to overly restrictive firewalls, Jammy supports the Tern standard and a bunch of other ones for basically detecting when that's the case and using any old Tern server to get around those restrictive firewalls. By default, Jammy uses tern.jammy.net, which I believe is load balanced and they run Coturn, but at least as far as I know. But you can also use any other Tern server if you wish. So I think that these would be the main primary differences. Jammy isn't browser-based or limited to the browser. And also Jammy is distributed. Oh, and Jammy can also function in local networks. So if you have a local network that doesn't have any internet connectivity, all the Jammy users within that local network can talk to each other just fine, whether it be in a simple small home network or in a larger organizational company setting that's like completely firewalled off from the outside. Jammy works just fine in that setting as well.
Great, thanks. Oh, I wanted to mention that one user posted that they're using Jammy every day with their family. So thanks a lot for your marvelous work.
Wonderful. That's great to hear. And yeah, thank you for sharing that. And you know, it's not just me. In fact, I've been doing a little bit less, but you know, kudos to the entire Jammy team at SFL and of course, outside SFL, the wider community, the volunteers who do a ton of work. All of that goes into making Jammy what it is. So that is much appreciated.
And I wanted to ask, do you happen to know offhand the version number where the swarm features come in? Because I had exactly the issue that you first talked about in your talk, where I was trying to communicate with my wife and one of us was offline and so messages didn't go through. And I'm going to be delighted to go back and tell her that's fixed and we can go try it again. But I want to know that I have a system that actually has that feature.
Right. Unfortunately, I don't remember the exact specific version number, but I think we first started rolling out Swarm, at least the betas, about 2 years ago or so. And I believe in the past year, I would say, Swarm has been deployed and been available. So if you're using any recent-ish version of Jammy, let's say from the past year, it should already support Swarm. And let's see, so I believe right now we don't do this anymore, but that's some of these older transitioning versions, you would be able to right click on a user's name or contact's name and open the contact details. And in there, we would indicate whether that's a Swarm conversation or not. We don't do that anymore right now. But if you, let's say, do have a new version with like an old type conversation, Jammy will clearly indicate that this conversation is old. And you would need to basically have it automatically scrape it and start from scratch as a swarm. So yeah, sorry for the long-winded answer, but as long as I think you're using a version of Jammy within the past year or so, you should be good.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're about out of time. So thank you very much. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so thank you very much. Thank you for attending.